like to thank my peanut team leader at the University of Georgia for the next 6 months for that nice introduction, Dr. Beasley. We have enjoyed having him. On a more serious note, the children complained that the free lunch at their state school, rice, beans, potato curry, and soy balls tasted odd. The cook gave it a taste too. Within half an hour, they all began to suffer severe stomach pains, followed by vomiting, diarrhea, and within hours, at least 22 of the children were dead. Contaminated lunch kills 22 children in India. You've probably heard of this. This was New York Times yesterday. I think that you can't listen to that and not be heartbroken. You can't listen to it and think that it's not tragic. You can't listen to that and think that there's got to be some criminal response involved. And if you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, what is the rest of the story? The rest of the story is that apparently cooking oil was stored in what? Containers that it contained insecticides. Tragic. Okay? But the fourth point, beyond tragic and heartbreaking and criminal, is front page of the New York Times with a picture that will bring you to tears if you lit it. And what's the one word that a lot of people will walk away from with that? Insecticides. Okay? I think that it's a very timely time for this topic, very timely to have this today, not only because of this, but because of the lines that are drawn. And I think that if we, as the agricultural community, and the growers in particular, don't look at this story and feel not defensive, where we got to feel sympathy, we got to feel horror for the children and for the families, but at the same time, we have to be careful and recognize that this is one way of looking at insecticides. When was the last time the New York Times ran a full-page, front-page article that talked about the lives that are saved by storage pests, or maintaining storage pests with insecticides, or by maintaining yields by using insecticides or pesticides? Okay? It's a very, very dangerous situation for those of us who use it. What I want you to take away from today, Judd, is I want you to know about why we compare about sustainable disease control. Because I think that in the agricultural community, at least for myself, when I hear somebody say, we're going to talk about sustainable, I become defensive in a way, because I expect that sustainable does not include the conventional agriculture that I practice or that I try to help you practice. What I want you to walk away from here today is disease management is critical for sustainability. I want you to walk away that best management programs may not give you absolute control. You may not clean up every leaf spot, every spot of white mold in a field, but the best management practices that bring you the greatest amount of money may do that. Okay? Best management practices, we will integrate cultural ideas. We'll integrate varietal, the different varieties, the resistance of varieties, and we'll also look at the optimal use of fungicides. I want you to remember that reducing inputs, and we all want to reduce inputs, is going to require the following. We've got to manage the risk. You can't reduce your reliance upon things like fungicides and nematicides if you don't reduce your risk. We've got to optimize our application strategies. And I'll talk about that. Dr. Brenneman's done a lot of work on optimizing strategies. If we want sustainable, if we want to reduce inputs, then we have to do what we do better. This can reduce cost and risk. Resistance management. Okay, we're going to talk about azoxystrobin in a little while. Azoxystrobin goes off patent this year or next year. I'm worried about that. We have to practice resistance management. And then growers need to maximize yield and grade versus the investment in their production. Okay? What is sustainability? We've talked about that a little bit already. But what I would say is that for me, sustainability is being able to have the capacity to endure, to keep on doing what we're doing over the long term, that we don't run out of the ability to grow crops, to feed the world, to feed the country, the fiber crops. And it requires, according to this article, it requires three things. It's got to be environmentally sustainable, it's got to be socially sustainable, and you've got to meet the economic demands. Because none of us do what we do because it's just fun. We do it because we have to feed our families. Sustainability versus organic. Dr. Beasley already mentioned this. Because in a lot of times, I believe that sustainability is hijacked as being the same thing as organic. And there's nothing wrong with organic, but that's not what most of us do. Organic is different than sustainability. Organic may be sustainable, but you don't have to be organic to be sustainable. Organic, obvious crop rotation, biological pest control, excludes the synthetic use of the use of synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. What Kip was just talking about includes synthetic fertilizers. What I'm going to talk about includes synthetic pesticides. So we may not be organic, but that does not mean that we're not sustainable. I work a lot in Haiti and in Guyana, as a lot of you all know. And these would be described as, these are all peanut production situations in Haiti and Guyana, and they would be described as traditional, they would be described as organic, and in some capacity in their countries, they'd be described as sustainable. But would they be sustainable where we are now? Would they be sustainable in the United States? Absolutely not. And Rotan in 1988 said, traditional agricultural systems that have met the test of sustainability have not been able to do what? They've not been able to increase yields for a growing world population. Okay? So they may be sustainable, they may be traditional, they may be organic, but that's not what we do. And that's what I want to get into my talk now. What is the sustainability in peanut production and disease management? USDA has defined sustainable agriculture as the integrated system of plant and animal production practices having a site-specific application that will, over the long term, satisfy human food and fiber needs. It's not enough to be organic, it's not enough to be traditional, it's not enough to be sustainable, but you have to meet the requirement that you are able to meet the needs of the population. But at the same time, we want to enhance environmental quality, we want to make the most efficient use of non-renewable resources. Just because we don't practice organic farming doesn't mean we don't want to do those things. And the second from the bottom is the one that I would point out to all of you all that you know. When we talk about sustainability, it's nice to talk about all the other factors, but if you can't make a living for your generation and the next generation and the next generation, then it really doesn't matter, does it? It's not sustainable. Okay? Peanut farmers. Peanut farmers, I believe that if you want to embrace sustainability in your own disease management production in your fields, you would do the following. The first thing is you would deploy best management practices. We can all do what we do better in terms of managing diseases. And best management practices require timeliness. They require calibration and attention to rates, proper disposal of chemical jugs, the chemicals, complete attention to the label. How many times have people told me, Bob, what does 14.2 ounces of tebuconazole do? Well, why do they want to know it? It's cheap, and they can put it out. But is that really what we want to do as far as a sustainable approach? And then we want to use innovative technologies and strategies. All of those things are going to make our disease management more sustainable, more friendly. We want to follow the guidelines to reduce risk fungicide resistance. And then what are the benefits of reduced inputs? Decreased environmental risk, maybe. Reduced cost, possibly. And what we want to do is decrease the chance we don't have fungicide resistance develop. And that Peanut RX logo that you see here, that's what we've already employed. Mississippi, Auburn, University of Georgia, University of Florida, now Clemson, we all get to go. And for me, that's a branded symbol that shows that peanut growers in the southeastern United States are already practicing sustainable agriculture, sustainable disease management, because every aspect of that is related to it. Here's the enemy. Doesn't matter what state you're in. Tomato spotted wilt virus in the upper left-hand corner. The leaf spots in the lower left-hand corner. CBR, the upper right. White mold or stem rot on the lower right-hand corner. That's what we have to deal with. If we're going to be sustainable in terms of continuing to produce peanuts in an economic fashion, we have to be able to manage those. Peanut root knot nematode as well. Not a disease, but we typically talk about the same situation. We have to be able to manage all of these pests if we're to be sustainable. Here's the bullets I would tell you. And we're not going to go through every one of them, but those are the 10 bullets that I believe that if we're going to have sustainable disease management, those are things that we have to practice. Kip already talked about crop rotation, varieties, tillage systems, peanut prescription in our risk management programs, careful selection of fungicides and nematicides, using the ones where you're most likely to get what you need, the most likely to get the best return on your investment. Practice fungicide resistance management, best management practices for using anything you put out. Consider the impact of planting date and other cultural practices, irrigation management, and the last one, general plant health management. You know, if you want to manage disease as well, you've got to manage fertility. You've got to manage weeds. You've got to manage all those things because a healthier plant is more resistant to disease. For the next 10 minutes in the conclusion of my talk, what I want to go through is just show some examples of these that are most important, these that are related to sustainable disease control in peanuts, the bullets that we'd like to use. These are the ones that are listed in Peanut Prescription. If you haven't seen Peanut Prescription, I'll be disappointed because I tried very hard. I know the other pathologists in your states have as well. There's cards out in the lobby from many different companies who are endorsing and going along with Peanut Prescription, but they're out there and you can see the 2013. But these are some of the factors that we know that by managing these factors, by making the most out of the impact that each one of those factors has on disease, you take the pressure off the reliance of fungicides. And by taking the reliance off of fungicides, you give yourself better opportunity to get better disease management and get better efficacy out of the fungicides themselves. Okay? Crop rotation, we don't need to go over that very much. All I'll say about crop rotation is that is the foundation for any disease program we have. We would like you to be out of peanuts in the field for at least 2 years. 3 years is better. 4 years is even better than that. But it's not just being out of the field with peanuts. It's what you plant in place of peanuts. If you have the choice of planting soybeans or corn, which one's going to give you better return on your rotation? Obviously, corn will. Soybeans share some of the same nematodes, some of the same pathogens. All right, so rotation is a cornerstone in terms of sustainable disease management for each one of you. Resistance. I think some of the greatest strides in the past 40 years have come, or actually since the decline of Flowrunner with tomato spotted wilt virus, some of the greatest strides have been in disease management have been in the resistance we're getting in new varieties. Leaf spot resistance, white mold resistance, nematode resistance. Right? And what resistant varieties do for us, even if it's not complete, what they allow us to do is they give us greater opportunity on the fungicide program we're going to use. And so sustainable agriculture, sustainable disease management, peanut production requires us to have options and opportunity. One picture. Nematode field. On the right is TIFGuard. On the left is Georgia Green. No nematicide used under either one of them. Okay? And it clearly shows what the benefit is to having a variety with resistance like TIFGuard does. If you follow Peanut Prescription, we assign points. And this is based upon 2011 values, but here you'll see the white mold points. More points means more susceptible. Here's Georgia 06G, here's Georgia 07W. We say there's a 10-point difference. And below that, what I've listed is the difference in those points there translates into benefits that you would get from rotation, benefits you get from different planting dates, it negates the effect of a high plant stand, and it can negate the effect of irrigation and tillage. So simply by choosing varieties with more resistance gives you flexibility in all your other production practices as well of your choice of nematicides or fungicides. The fungicides. We've never had a better arsenal of fungicides we can use. In fact, I spend most of my time, Nick, talking to growers about, you didn't know I saw you out there, did you? I see you. All right, Nick, you and I talk a lot about growers about how they're going to deploy the fungicides that are available. And doing those effectively is a critical mission for us. Currently, we have four general classes of fungicides. And why that's important? All right, the first one's chlorothalonil. It's kind of out by itself. We're not worried about resistance. But the other three, the triazole fungicides, the strobilurin fungicides, and even the SDHI fungicides with our new Fontellus that's involved, all of those can develop resistance. And if we develop resistance to azoxystrobin-Wilson, what's also at risk? Pyraclostrobin, fluoxystrobin, pacoxystrobin. Okay? It's a problem. So the triazole fungicides, the strobilurin fungicides, and the SDHI fungicides, they are where we want to be as far as efficacy. They're the ones that we use most often. They're the brand names that you know. And we need them for sustainable. You know, I'm not talking organic. I'm talking about being able to grow peanuts commercially. Do we need anything more than chlorothalonil and tebuconazole? Why that question? Because it's cheap. It's inexpensive. Chlorothalonil plus tebuconazole is an inexpensive mix that gives us very good disease control in most situations. But I would argue that we have to be very concerned about that. And I think the key point here, in my opinion, is, you know what's the best tool for resistance management? Get away from inexpensive. And that's not what the growers want to hear. We don't want to overspend. But if things are too inexpensive, what do growers do? Why not put it out? It doesn't cost me anything. How much tebuconazole is being used? I mean, how many times am I asked, what does the 14.4 ounce rate do? Well, I don't know, but why do they ask? Because it's cheap, okay? Effective fungicide, but we ask that even for these, remember the rate and the resistance, because overuse of tebuconazole is not sustainable. Overuse may make economic sense in the short term, but it's not sustainable. Okay? We've got to look at cost versus efficacy versus resistance management. This is what scares me even more. Next year, Lyle, is it next year or is it this year? It's happening pretty soon, isn't it? Azoxystrobin is going off patent, and the wolves are there, I bet you. Right? If you go to the Syngenta booth today, and this isn't advertised for Lyle, but if you look at their new, I hadn't even seen it till today, their new prescription fungicide program, Abound is always mixed with Alto. And why is that? Anticipation of the problems that will develop if too much azoxystrobin is used without the benefit of a tank mix partner. Sustainability says we've got to keep these fungicides around. Tebuconazole is an outstanding fungicide. It's an inexpensive fungicide that we overuse, but we've also got to remember that there is value in spending more money sometimes. Here's the level of tebuconazole disease control. This is in Cook County not too many years ago. This is the level of white mold when they spend a little bit more money on more expensive products. And when you look at yield, well, 3,011 pounds where we use tebuconazole program, 1,000 pound increase where we used another fungicide. Okay? So not only when we mix the fungicides up, not only are we potentially increasing the value, but we're also increasing or reducing the chance of risk management. Last year we had a trial with a lot of white mold in it. Here is the tebuconazole. Here's the Fontellus, the Convoy, and the Artisan. These were the treatments we had in the trial, and again, about a 1,000-pound increase. Again, don't stop thinking just something's cheap, and don't start thinking that you can use more of it just because it's cheap. Prescription fungicide programs, almost done. Prescription fungicide programs, Peanut RX, in these companies, you can see the ones down there, everywhere from Syngenta, Nichino, BASF, Arista, Bayer, Sipcam, and now DuPont, all indoor spraying. Fewer applications of their products if you know what your risk is. And sustainable means taking the measures you need to reduce your risk. Sustainable means using less fungicide because you have made the decision that you're able to do it. Utilization of the fungicides or the nematicides. If you want to get the most benefit out of a fungicide, you need to anticipate rain events. You need to be timely and stay ahead of the disease. Tim Berneman has found out that by spraying the fungicides at night for soil-borne disease control, you improve your disease control. And on the left is azoxystrobin or Abound sprayed at night. On the right is sprayed during the daytime. Simply by changing your timing increases the efficacy, makes the production practice the same cost, more sustainable. He's also done work looking at early emergence applications. And here we're talking about additional spray, but we're also talking about better management. On the right is an early emergence application of Proline. On the left is without that Proline. And you can see the differences. Sustainable means stewardship of the environment, but it also means making more money with the limited resources we have. And the last thing I'll talk about, and I'm finished, is nematode control. You know, it's heartbreaking again to read this story in India. You remember back in the Bhopal incident where we had a precursor to Temic that was released in the environment and 1,200 or more people were killed. Okay? But we've used Temic very carefully. We don't have Temic anymore. Temic used appropriately was a very, very effective nematicide. But we don't have it now. One thing we do have is Telome. Why don't more growers chip? Why don't more growers use Telome? I'll see you too. All right? The first reason I get is they say it's because it's expensive. Second reason, they don't want to deal with the application. All right? But I know the Judd in the back, you use it as a matter of production practices. Use it effectively. The new strategy that's coming out, much like night spraying, much like early emergence application, and we're doing it in cotton now, and it won't be long before we take it into peanut, is if we determine how you can best predict your responsive zones in a peanut field, let's use the Telome where we need it. Okay? Nighttime sprays, early applications, site-specific applications are all ways that we can make peanut production in Georgia more sustainable. Why? Because we're using wiser application strategies. We're getting out. And if we can cut the rate of telone in a field by 60% and maintain yields, you can't tell me that's not sustainable or the direction we need to be moving. I want to leave you with this last slide. Again, I believe that the proof that peanut producers in the Southeast believe in sustainable production, sustainable disease management, is your endorsement and the company's partnership in Peanut RX. It is our foundation. And now our goal as researchers and extension specialists who your money funds and supports is to continue to develop this sustainability. Okay? Tragic, heartbreaking, criminal, unfortunate in India, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the judicious use of nematicides, insecticides, and fungicides to feed the world and clothe the world. That's what I got. Any questions from me?